stand with us if you're able tonight as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. We are certainly excited to be able to be in the house of the Lord. Midweek service. Everybody shout, midweek matters. Amen. Midweek matters. I feel like that theme is growing in this church. We've been having some wonderful midweek services this year, and God has truly blessed us, and we are so grateful. Amen. If you got your Bibles, if you turn with me to where I'd like to take my text tonight, to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I want to speak to you tonight on a topic that never gets old to me. It's something that I'm always constantly, Sister Trina, reminding myself of. Amen. And if I'm the pastor of this church and I need to be reminded, I got a pretty good feeling you probably need to be reminded also. Amen. That we got to have on the armor of God tonight. Amen. Hopefully you have received your handout. If you'd like a handout and you don't have a handout of the text for tonight and the description of the different pieces of the armor, amen. See us. We'll make sure that you get one before you leave today. Amen. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to shorten our reading for the sake of time for a few moments. Now we're just going to read verse 10 through 12, but we're going to discuss 10 through 18. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Shout yes when you're there. Amen. If you don't have your Bibles, it's provided for you up on the screen behind me. Amen. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. The word of the Lord says at the mouth of the Apostle Paul, finally, my brethren. How many know he's talking to the church? If you don't know it, you're the brethren. All right? He's not talking to the world here. He's not reminding the world of the things that they got to have to stay strong in Christ. He's talking to the church. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look what he says. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight, amen, about what you're holding in your hand. Amen. I want to speak for a moment on the armor of God. All over this house, can we clap our hands one more time unto him? In a hand clap of praise, of adoration and exaltation. Amen. Can we clap our hands? Come on, clap those hands unto the Lord and give him praise tonight. Amen. He's good. If he's good to you, clap your hands and give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. He's worthy tonight to be praised. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak for a little bit on the armor of God. You know, as wonderful as it feels to be filled with the Spirit, and as amazing as it is to feel, Brother Josh, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and to feel the hair stand up on your neck and the tears swell in your eyes, and to feel the embrace and the pull and the tug of the Spirit of God as he begins to move upon broken humanity. As amazing as all of those things are, how many are thankful for our Pentecostal experience? Come on, one thing that the world's never going to be able to take away from the true apostolic church is the Pentecostal experience. Amen. And as amazing as that Pentecostal experience is, the truth is, the Christian life, a life in Christ, is a battleground and not a playground. It's a battleground. And when you, Brother Jediah, begin to walk with God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you better get ready because you're going to have a fight on your hands. It's a battleground. It's not a playground. Amen. And here in our text tonight, the Apostle Paul uses this imagery, this spiritual imagery, to show us, Brother Timmy, that we are in a fight for our lives. We're in a fight for our lives, and this is not a we're not on a merry-go-round. We're not playing on the monkey bars tonight. Come on, as great as it is to see one another in the house of the Lord, we're in a fight, Brother Joe, for our lives. We're in a fight that's going to determine whether we're going to make heaven our home or whether we're going to spend eternity in hell. Amen. And our life in Christ is this. It's a battleground. And it's a place that we're going to fight for our families. We're going to fight for the people that we love. We're going to fight for our mind. We're going to fight for our health. We're going to fight for our finances. We're going to fight for our marriage. We're going to fight for our children. We're going to fight for everything, Brother Elisha, that we love. Amen. When we find a life in Christ and we embark on a new journey, amen, and with a life in Christ, we're going to find out that you're on a battlefield and you're not on a playground. And Paul uses this imagery because the first century church, the first century Christians, it's something that they understood. You got to understand tonight that Paul's writing this text, Brother Carl, as he's shackled to a Roman soldier sitting next to him in the prison. This is not something that Paul is unfamiliar with. This is not something that he just dreams up in his head. This is not just some vision that he's having that he's trying to relay to us. This is Paul's life. This is what Paul is doing. Paul is fighting, amen, to keep his mind. Paul is fighting to keep his life in Christ. And he uses this imagery of a soldier because he's chained next to one. And it's something that he understands. And it's something that the first century church understood. He's chained to this soldier. He is certainly an ambassador of Christ. He is an ambassador in bonds, right? And that's why Paul can say, that's why Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down. It was something that he understood. It was something that he was living in his life. It was something that he could testify about. That's why Paul could tell Timothy, his protege in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's why Paul could tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. And that's why he could say, I have fought a good fight. How many remember the words that Paul penned? I have fought a good fight. Paul was telling us, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to fight your way there. If you're going to make it to heaven, if you're going to live successfully in Christ, you're going to have to fight every day of your life. You're going to have to make choices that your flesh disagrees with. You're going to have to make choices that your friends and your family disagree with. And you're going to have to choose Jesus above everything else. Amen. Which leads us to our text today, the book of Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Amen. Paul is telling us, amen, that we got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You know, there are absolutely this many recorded cases of possession or devil possession in the Old Testament. Zero. There is not one recording in the Old Testament, okay, of the children of Israel, of anyone under the law, having trouble with devil possession. But when you get to the text, Brother Ken, in the New Testament, you find out that it is rampant. It is rampant. Every time you turn around, the enemy is latching a hold of somebody, trying to get in their mind, trying to get in their heart, trying to get in between them and God. You'll find out when you get into the New Testament, you'll see, because there's a war that was waged between God and the devil, and it's a spiritual war. You're in a fight for your life tonight. I got five people that believe that. I'll keep preaching until I get 10. You're in a fight for your life tonight. You're in a fight for your home tonight. You're in a fight for your children tonight, for your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your home tonight. You're in a fight for your life tonight. There's a war that's been waged between God and the devil, and it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual conflict tonight, and we need to get this down in our soul. It's a conflict for the souls of men. Israel, under the law, had a physical covenant, Brother Carl, with God. But we today, we have a new covenant with Jesus Christ. We have a spiritual covenant with Jesus Christ. So this is why when you get to the New Testament text, you begin to see all of this possession, all of this attacks from the enemy, all of him trying to get people losing their mind and people falling in and out of the fire and people tearing their clothes off and people rending and people going mad is because we're in a fight for our minds tonight. We're in a fight for our minds tonight. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual conflict for the souls of men. Amen. And listen, when we enter into spiritual blessings, along with that comes spiritual battles. How many know you can't have blessings without battles? Now, I know that ain't going to get you jumping up and down and running all around the church, but it's the truth of the matter. You're not going to have blessings if you're not willing to endure battles. Somebody shout yes. You're going to have to fight for everything. You're going to have to protect. Come on, God is expecting you to protect what he has placed in your hands. We're in a fight. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a warfare. And listen, that warfare moved from heaven between God and the devil to earth in the new covenant. So you understand now that, Brother Eddie, because we are a tool in God's hands and the Lord fills us with his spirit, now the enemy's attacks have shifted to the church. Come on, there was a war in heaven. We all know about Lucifer getting kicked out of heaven. We all know he couldn't overcome God. We all know he was an angel. We all know that he tried to usurp his authority over God, and the Lord kicked him out of heaven. But look, when we entered into a new covenant, and we became the vessel of God, we became the temple of God. Come on, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? When you became the temple of God, you became the temple of the Holy Ghost. The enemy shifted his attacks from God to you. And now you're in a spiritual battle. Now you're fighting for your life. Amen. We're in a warfare today. The Bible calls our enemy Satan, which means adversary. Calls him the devil, which means he's the accuser of the brethren. Right? That's what he does. He accuses you. He attacks you. He comes after you with everything that he can. It calls him Belial, meaning extremely wicked. Lucifer, meaning the angel of light. We all know where he came from. The dragon, the serpent, Beelzebub, the evil one, the tempter. How many know that he's the one that tempts you? He's the one that distracts you. He's the one that uses things that look like there's something else to get you pulled away from your concentration and your focus being up on God today. He's the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says, ruler of this world. He has many tactics. He has many weapons. He has an armory. He has many people that are willing to let him use them. Amen. And he wants to defeat the church. So he accuses us. He condemns us. He distracts us. He tries to pit us against one another. He tries to put other things in front of us and get our priorities all out of whack. He tries to make us think that this is more important than church, and this is more important than reading my Bible, and this is more important than Saturday morning prayer, and this is more important than a midweek service. And he puts all of these things, he uses all of these tactics, and he takes advantage of us, and he tries to even steal, the Bible says, the word away. How many know he'll try to steal the word of God out of your life? He'll try to steal the word of God out of your life. Amen. And you know, but you know what the truth is? He's not eternal like our God is. He's not omnipotent like our God is. He's not all-knowing like our God is. He's not all-seeing like our God is. He's not everywhere present like our God is. Come on, somebody. He's not in control of our health and our finances like our God is, as long as we put our eyes on Jesus and we keep them where they're supposed to be. Amen. But he's not all of these things that our God is. He just wants you to think he is. He just wants you to think he is. He wants you to think he's all-powerful. He wants you to think that he's all-knowing. He wants you to think that he's everywhere. So he has, because he's not, he has this organized kingdom, Brother Kyler. Amen. And he wants to get in front of us. How many know in order for the enemy to distract you, he's got to get in front of you? And how many know that it's not always going to be a little short guy in a red suit with a pitchfork? No, sometimes he's going to use things that are called familiar spirits. He's going to use things that you love. He's going to use things that you're close to. He's going to use things that you're right there living in the midst of. He's going to use anything and everything that he can to distract you. So he uses this organization, this kingdom of darkness, principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. How many know he was a beautiful angel? And many times the way that he presents himself to us is in a beautiful way. Come on, in the form of a nice house that you can't afford, that you got to work too much to pay for. Come on, in the form of a new car that's fancy, and everybody's going to say, oh, look at that new car that they got. You're going to have to work extra to pay for. Come on, he comes to us in a way, amen, that he knows will appease and appeal to us. So he uses all of the things of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I tell you, no matter how our circumstances may look on the outside, church, our battle is and never will be against other human beings. Huh? The sooner you open your eyes and realize that your brother and your sister is not your enemy, the better off you're going to be, because how will we be known as his disciples if we love one another? We can love one another and still hate sin. We can love and respect one another and still not get caught up in the things that God does not want us to get caught up in. Amen. So no matter how our circumstances may look on the outside, our battle will always be eternal or internal, right? Our battle is internal. Our battle is spiritual. And we waste so much time fighting things that we should not be fighting with. Can I tell you, your spouse is not your enemy. Can I tell you, your children, even though they're being disobedient, not listening to what you have to say, they are not your enemy. Can I tell you, that neighbor that walked through your yard and you got really upset because they stepped on your grass, that's not your enemy tonight. No, your enemy is the devil tonight. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a fight for our lives. That's why the devil loves religious people. Can I tell you tonight, the devil loves churchgoers. You know why? Because what he does is he gets right in there and he starts working among us. He ain't worried about, oh, drunk Donnie walking down the street out there. No, he's worried about Pentecostal Patty in here saying something about her sister that she shouldn't be saying about somebody. Now, the devil, he loves churchgoers. He loves to pit people one against another, and he loves to use this. He loves an inside job. How many know the devil is a master? He's the master criminal today. He loves to work an inside job. How many ever watch those shows on television about those inside jobs? You got those dirty police officers or those dirty bankers. Let me tell you something. The enemy uses us in the same fashion. He loves to work an inside job and work us against one another and try to turn the people of God against one another. He uses wrong attitudes. That's why David understood when he said, renew in me a right spirit and create in me a clean heart. Lord, help me to have my eyes open to the tricks of my adversary, because I'm in a battle for my soul. I'm in a battle for my soul. The bad news is the devil is a formidable opponent. And if you think that he will not reap havoc in your life, you are sadly mistaken. If you give place to him, if you give him opportunity, he is a master criminal. And he will sneak in your marriage if you give him opportunity. And he will sneak in your friendships if you give him opportunity. And he will sneak in your finances. He will sneak in your health. He will sneak into any area that you leave open for him. He's going to find a way to get in there and to reap havoc in your life. Amen. He is a formidable opponent today. And let me tell you something. We cannot defeat him with human strength. We cannot defeat him with ordinary religiosity, Brother Eric. We cannot defeat him by mundane church today. We cannot defeat him by haphazard reading of your Bible today and lackluster prayer life today. That's not what's going to defeat hell today. Amen. No, we have a formidable opponent. Amen. And we will not defeat him with human strength. All right? We will not defeat him with just good old household religiosity, all right? But the good news is you can defeat him. The good news is you can defeat the enemy today, all right? You can defeat the enemy today, but you're going to have to do it God's way. And what is Paul saying God's way is? You got to put on the whole armor of God, huh? You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to come to the battlefield. You got to come to the battlefield ready to fight. You got to come to the battlefield prepared to fight. Let me ask you a question. Did you get dressed for church tonight? Did you get dressed for work today? Or did you get up and go to work in those pajamas that you had on when you got out of bed? No, you got up and you put on your work attire. Today. And today you come home from work and you change and you put on your church attire today. Because why? Because you got to be dressed for your occasion. And we are in a battle for our lives today. Amen. You got up and you got dressed for work today. Listen, since we're fighting against the enemy of this world, we need special equipment. Equipment that is defensive and equipment that is offensive. We need the armor of God, and not just part of the armor of God. We need the whole armor of God. We need the whole armor of God. And this is what Paul was saying. You got to put on the whole armor of God, which leads us to the very first P that the Apostle Paul spoke about, the girdle of truth. How many know the devil's a liar? Say that with me tonight. The devil is a liar. Say it again like you mean it. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar today. And listen, the believer whose life is controlled by truth will defeat the father of all lies. All right? But you got to have truth in your life. So Paul talks about the girdle of truth. The girdle was a belt that held all of the other parts of the armor together. How many know it takes the truth for us to hold it together? Because if you don't have the truth, if you don't have line up on line, precept up on precept, here a little, there a little, if you don't have all the pieces coming together and working together, before you know it, you're going to be one of those people saying, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No, the Bible does not contradict itself. The problem is you don't have on the girdle of truth tonight. When you got on the girdle of truth, everything starts to work together and everything starts to come together. It takes the truth to hold it all together. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil tonight. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? How many know it takes the truth to make us free? So to try to live for God without the girdle of truth ain't going to work tonight. You got to have the truth. It takes the truth to make you free. The loins are the central part of the physical system, right? The loins, Brother Joe, is what we protect. It's where everything internal is working at. So it takes the truth, amen, to protect us, to keep us from things that will destroy us. Amen. That's why when you say to smite through the loins is to strike a fatal blow. Or to lay affliction upon the loins is to afflict heavily. Because we got to protect our inner parts. We got to protect what God has placed in us. All right? And look, to be truthful with God, to be truthful with yourself, to be truthful with others, people is absolutely vital and it's absolutely crucial. Look, I'm a firm believer that someone who says, I repented of my sins and I haven't got high in 4 weeks knowing that they're sitting right there in their seat high has not truly repented of your sins. Because it takes the truth to make you free. You got to be willing to be honest with yourself. You got to be truthful with yourself. You got to be truthful with God. And you got to be truthful with your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Because you can't build without truth. So to be truthful is absolutely crucial. You got to be truthful. Look, once a lie gets down in your soul, once a lie gets down in the life of a believer, everything begins to fall apart. How many know you can't live life on a lie? You cannot live a life in Christ on a lie. David is living proof. Look how long he lied about Bathsheba. How long did David lie? For over a year, he tried to cover up his own sin, and everything around him kept falling apart. You know why? Because you can't build a life in Christ on a lie. You got to be willing to be truthful. That's why the girdle of truth is so important. Nothing was going right for David because he was trying to build on a lie. We cannot build on a lie tonight. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was made of metal pieces. It was covered the upper part of the body, the front and the back. I mean, we talked about a few moments ago that Satan is the accuser. But he cannot accuse the believer who's living a godly life by the power of the Spirit or who is protected by the breastplate of righteousness. How many know the Bible says not for us not to let our goods be evil spoken of? Huh? So we got to put on righteousness. We got to live righteously before God and before the world that we're living in. We got to have on the breastplate of righteousness. The life we live either fortifies us against hell or it makes it easier for the devil to attack us and to defeat us. The life you live will either fortify you, it will either strengthen you, it will protect you, Brother Joe, or it will open you up to the attacks of the enemy. How many know if you want to live for God in the church and man, you refuse righteous living, can I tell you, you're opening yourself up to the attacks of the enemy. You are absolutely opening yourself up to the attacks of the enemy. It makes it easier for him to attack us. It makes it easier for him to defeat us. Are you living righteously? Is your life in Christ fortifying you? Is your life in Christ protecting you? Is your life in Christ causing the world to see you differently than it does everybody else? If not, you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man. Everybody say new man. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Boy, there went somebody's argument right out the window that you don't got to live holy for God. There went somebody's argument right out the window that you don't have to live righteously. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got to have on the breastplate. Paul said to put on the whole armor, and the second piece of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. And that will either fortify you and strengthen you and close you out to the attacks of the enemy, or else it's going to open you up to his attacks. Ephesians 1 and 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. You got to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Number 3, the sandals of the gospel, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier, they wore sandals that were bound around their ankle, and then they were studded with hobnails so his feet would not slip in battle. How many know? David said, the Lord maketh my feet to be like hinds' feet. What he was saying is, the Lord makes me strong. The Lord makes me steady. The Lord sets my feet on a solid rock to stay. The Lord wants my feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We got to have a sure footing today. Amen. Can I tell you today that the gospel of peace is not when you hear it. The gospel of peace is not even when you understand it. The gospel becomes peace when you learn to obey it. I'm going to say that one more time so everybody under the sound of my voice can hear it tonight. The gospel doesn't become a peace in your life when you hear it. The gospel don't become peace in your life when you understand it. It becomes peace in your life when you begin to obey it, when you begin to live it, when it becomes a part of you, when it becomes who you are today. The Lord will make your feet like hinds' feet. Romans 5 and 1, therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, which by also ye are saved. How many know it takes the word of God to save us? It takes the word of God to save us today. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again. And on the third day, what did he do? He rose again. He gave us power. Amen. And of course, our foundational scripture, Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're never going to have a successful life in Christ as long as you're not willing to put on and have feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that gospel will not become your peace just because you heard it, Brother Jason. That gospel will not, look, you can understand it. How many work with people on their jobs? You know they know how to do their job. They just ain't willing to do it. The gospel does not become your peace because you know it. It becomes your peace because you live it, because you obey it, because it becomes a part of who you are. I cannot stand firm against the attacks of the devil if I'm not willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to be willing to obey. That's when the gospel becomes, that's when Jesus becomes a peace. His spirit becomes peace that surpasses all understanding. That's when you can go through something in your life that you don't understand, and you can still stay close to Jesus. That's when life can throw disappointing moments your way. That's when you can get dealt cards that you didn't deserve, but you can still keep your eyes up on Jesus because it's a peace that surpasses our own understanding. Our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that doesn't happen just because you heard it. It happens when you begin to obey it. Number 4, the shield of faith. The shield was large. How many know a small shield never helped nobody? Come on, little bitty old shield never stopped very many fiery darts. But no, the shield of the Roman soldier was a 2-foot by 4-foot shield. It was made in a way, Brother Chris, to where the person next to you could actually hook their shield onto your shield. 2-foot by 4-foot. It's there to protect you. It's there to keep you from the wiles and the darts and the fiery darts of the devil that he's shooting at us every single day of our lives. How many know sometimes we just got to bind together, fortify one another, hook our shields together, and we just got to start marching right on into the enemy's camp. You ain't going to make it without the shield of faith. 2 foot by 4 foot made of wood, covered with tough leather, protected the soldier from those burning arrows that were flying through the air. Amen. Come on, we got to be able to hook our shields together. We got to be able to interlock one with another. We're our brother's keeper, the Bible says. Huh? We got to love one another, the Bible says. We got to be able to hook our shields one to another. If you're weak, stand beside me. If you're weak, hook your shield to my shield, and let's keep fighting the devil together. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We do walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. That's absolutely goes against our flesh. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Can I tell you, you're not going to make it without the shield of faith. It takes faith to please God. Without faith, it's impossible, the Bible says, to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I don't have to go to church. I'm preaching against you tonight. I don't have to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I don't need four walls to serve God. You better watch who you're listening to. You're taking your counsel from the ungodly. No, we need to hook our shields together. Come on, somebody. We got to have the shield of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, he said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We got to have faith. The prayer of faith, what does it say? Shall save the sick. How you going to pray for somebody without faith? How we going to see people receive jobs without faith? How we going to see people healed in their body without faith? How we going to see our children saved without faith? How are we going to see our finances healed without faith? How are we going to see things? How are we going to see the hand of God move without faith? How are we going to get faith without the preaching of God's word? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, the Lord said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. 5, the helmet of salvation. The helmet was made at the first of skin. It was a tough skin, but then it was strengthened with bronze or some other type of heavy metal that was beaten and shaped and put into that skin. And then it was finished with a visor that would pull down over your face to protect the face or to protect the head. It refers to the mind that is controlled by God's spirit. How many know we are created mind, body, and soul? Huh? We got to protect what God has given us. And if God has given us a sound mind, and he has not given us the spirit of fear, we can't just let any old thing come into our head today. So he gives us the helmet of salvation. Visor to pull down over our face. Someone who doesn't live for God just by their feelings. How many know there's too many people that go to church that want to serve God in their feelings? Can I tell you, I wish I had a nickel for some time I ever heard something, Brother Ken, in the house of God that offended my flesh. I understood a long time ago when I was still a babe in Christ that I cannot serve God in my flesh. I cannot serve God in my feelings. That is not having on the helmet of salvation. Now, I'm not talking about people who just serve God in their feelings. People who serve God in their feelings live on a spiritual seesaw. One minute they're up, the next minute they're down. It all depends on how they feel. Can I tell you? God's really not all that concerned about your feelings. God's more concerned about you getting to heaven than he is about your feelings today. People who just want to serve God when it feels good are people who live on a spiritual seesaw all the time. Huh? They're just in their feelings all the time. They're up one minute, they're down the next. But come on, we got to live God. We got to live for God by our choices. We come to church even when we had a bad day. We get down on our knees and pray even when it was a rough evening. Come on, we get up on Saturday morning and we come to Saturday morning prayer even though we're tired and we wasn't feeling well. We was up half the night. No, we don't serve God by our feelings. We serve God by our choices. Our choices must be consistent. And if we don't make consistent choices, we don't have on the helmet of salvation. Because we're serving God in our feelings. We're doing whatever feels good. How many know we're living in this postmodern world that everybody tells you if it feels good, just do it. That's why people are walking around numb all the time, not knowing up from down all the time, because they're living in this world where everybody just tells them, well, if it feels good, just do it. That's why marriages are disposable. That's why jobs don't mean nothing to nobody no more. Because people are living in their feelings. Church, we must protect our minds. We must have on the helmet of salvation. We must live God with we must live for God with consistent choices. Every day of our life, we make hard choices. Every day of our life, we make natural choices. Brother Teddy, right? We decide whether we're going to go to work or not. We decide whether we're going to cut the grass or not, or whether we're going to let the city come charge us $75 to cut our grass. So chances are, if you don't want to pay $75 for the town to cut your grass, you will cut your own grass. So you make a choice that you didn't want to make, but you knew you had to make it. And it's the same way living for God. We got to put on the helmet of salvation. We got to stop living in our feelings. We got to start making our decisions based on our feelings. And we got to make good choices for God. Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. That you may prove that is good, that acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Romans 15 and 6, that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wonder how many people wishes to God they would have went back and protected the sound mind that they once had. I wonder how many people who once had a good marriage would give anything to go back and say, if I would have only put on that helmet of salvation and protected my thinking. If I would have only protected the most important part of my body. If I would have only protected from those outside forces the things that snuck right in and began to put thoughts in my mind. Can I tell you, you're not going to make it living for God without the helmet of salvation. You're not going to make it without the helmet of salvation. We must protect what God has given us, and we must not get caught up in our feelings all the time. We got to live for God in the best choices that we can make. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. I'm trying to hurry. The sword of the Spirit. I find it very interesting, and I mentioned this multiple times in this church. I'm going to mention it again tonight. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon that Paul spake of in the whole armor of God. The shield is not offense. The girdle of truth is not offense. Feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. The sandals of the gospel, they're not offense. The only piece of the whole armor that he gave us for offensive use was the sword of the Spirit. But can I tell you, it's the only piece, but it's more than enough. It's the only piece needed. It's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Come on, it's the only offensive piece of weapon in the Christian's armor, but it's more than enough because it is the word of God. It's being led by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. Everybody say powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Yeah, that's right. You got to be divided, soul and spirit, because if not, you're going to get caught up in your feelings. We got to protect. We got to know when to be on the offense. We got to know how to use the word of God, the sword of the spirit, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Church, we got to be led by the Spirit. We got to be led by the Spirit. Don't ever let anybody tell you don't got a Holy Ghost. They're the liar and the father of all lies. They are the liar and the father of all lies. We must be filled with the Spirit. And anybody else that tells you anything else does not know what they're talking about. And I'm just telling you how it is today. We must be filled with the Spirit. It's the only offensive piece of our arsenal today, and it's more than enough. The Word of God is quick. Man, I couldn't tell you how many times in my life, in my adult Christian life, I could not tell you, Sister Gail, how many times in my life that I had my mind thinking a certain way, and the Word of God come to me and absolutely change and correct my thinking. Ooh, I'm telling you, man, we got to have the Spirit of God today. The sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon that we need. But let me tell you something. It can't fall into the hands of the wrong person. Huh? Come on, how many know it's the letter killeth, the Bible says, but the Spirit of God maketh alive. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit in the hands of an obedient child of God is willing to put on the whole armor is more than enough to defeat the enemy tonight. It's more than enough to defeat the enemy. For the Word of God is quick, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Divides us, pierces us asunder. Soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And most importantly, it's a discerner of our thoughts today. It's a guider of our thoughts today. When we begin to go down a rabbit hole, when we begin to think sideways, when we begin to think in a way that is not pleasing to God, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that guides us. It's a Spirit that leads us. You must be filled with the Spirit. You got to have the sword of the Spirit. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. And in closing in this text, the apostle gives us something that the first century church could absolutely relate to. He gives us all of these pieces of the soldier's armor. He understands that Israel is currently living in an oppressed state under Roman rule. They see Roman soldiers every single day of their life. This is normal. This is what they see every single day. And Paul goes through all of these pieces. He tells them all of these pieces and how important every single piece is. And then he goes on as he gets ready to close in this text, and he says, praying always. Praying always. Last but not least, praying always. Can I tell you, prayer is the energy that you will take into battle. If you go into battle without prayer and without worship, you're sure to be defeated. That's why they told him to send Judah first. Come on, Brother Harper preached about it a few weeks ago. Send Judah first into battle. When he said, when Paul said praying always, he was talking about the energy. Come on, the livelihood, the positivity that we take into the battle with us, because we understand when we pray to God that he's close to us, he changes us, he's with us, and he's going into the battle with us. Prayer is the energy that you take into your battle. Don't you dare go into battle without prayer. You can't fight the enemy with your own strength. You can't fight the enemy with your own mindset. You can't fight the enemy with your own thinking today. Praying always doesn't mean always saying a prayer. Praying always means staying in communion with God. Praying always means being willing to hear from God. How many know it's not about always what we say to God? Sometimes it's about us hearing from God. Praying always means you're in communion with God. And even when your mouth shut, he's able to speak into your spirit and say, you're headed down the wrong road. You're going the wrong way. You're listening to the wrong person. Praying always doesn't mean always being in prayer. It means staying in communion with God. It means keeping the receiver off of the hook. So if God wants to speak to you, you can hear him. How many know? He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. We got to be willing to hear from God. We got to be ready to hear from God. We got to be obedient to hear from God. We need the peace of God in our life so we can hear from God. That way you'll be ready. You'll have on the whole armor. You'll be ready to withstand the wiles of the devil. I hate to tell you today, but he's coming for you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to sit back, Brother Dave, and just watch you march right on into heaven on easy street. Now you have an adversary of your soul. You have one that wants to stop you from receiving the good things of God in your life. Don't just focus on yourself. Focus on others. Prefer your brother, the Bible says. How many know? I couldn't count once again how many times I received from God what I needed. I received a word. Come on, a logos. I received a rhema word from God because I was seeking on behalf of somebody else. And the Lord spoke into my spirit. Prefer your brother. Don't just focus on yourself. Don't just focus on your own needs. Praying for other people will bring victory into your life. When's the last time you got down and you just let your mind just start thinking about where everybody sits in this church and you just started calling people out by name and said, God, I need you to protect their family. God, you know what they're going through with those children, Lord. Lord, I need you to watch over their children while they're at school and mom and dad's not there with them. And you begin to just plead the blood of Jesus upon somebody else. And when you do that, come on, prayer begins to do something in your life. And you begin to feel something moving in your life. And the next thing you know, God is speaking into your life. God is speaking into your life. Prayers for other people will bring victory into your life. Ooh. Church. We got to put on the whole armor. We can absolutely have victory over our enemy and over our flesh tonight. But we got to do it like God says. Put on the whole armor. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Don't reject that righteous living. Come on, don't reject that righteous living. Don't reject that gospel of peace. Let your feet be shod with it. Don't reject that truth. Don't try to build on a lie. Let your loins be girded with truth today. Have the sword of the Spirit. Have the helmet of salvation. And always be open to hear from God. Let him speak to you. Come on, for the next few moments as we get ready to sing this closing song. If you want to get out of your seat, get out of your seat. If you want to stay right where you're at, I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. For the next few moments, we're going to seek God together. And we're going to ask Him, Lord, let us hear Your voice. Lord, let us not refuse one piece of Your arsenal. We understand if we're going to be a victorious church today, we got to have on the whole armor. We need our minds protected. We need our loins and our hearts and our inner parts protected. We need Your protection today. And we need the sword of the Spirit. We need to be led by Your Spirit today. All over this house, stretch those hands towards heaven today as we sing this closing song tonight. Come on, I want you.